This is Pro Blogger.
Hi there and welcome to episode 132 of the Pro Blogger podcast. My name's Darren Rouse and I'm the founder of Pro Blogger, a blog and a whole heap of other things that help you to improve your blogging and to build online businesses around blogs. Today we're going to talk about content, particularly talking about the written word, and I've got Ali Luke, who's one of our subject matter experts on ProBlogger, in to talk about subheadings. Now, subheadings is something that I've never talked about in this particular podcast before, but as I listened to Ali's tips, it struck me that we probably should have been talking about this earlier because it's one of the most important techniques that you can use in writing content online today. Ali gives you a whole heap of reasons to use subheadings in this particular podcast, talks about why people don't use them, answers the question, should you have subheadings on every post, and then gives a whole heap of tips and techniques for using them, including two great examples of blog posts that do use subheadings in different ways, one of which is quite simple and the other one a little bit more complicated. And then she finishes off her advice with some technical tips for using subheadings in your next blog post. I really do encourage you to have a listen to what Ali's got to say today. It's just her talking. I've given her 10 minutes to give as much good advice as she possibly can. And I think it would be well worth your while having a listen to what she's got to say today. Now, she does give some examples and also has included some screenshots of some of the tips that she uses. So you can find all of those over at problogger.com/podcast/132, where there's links to all of those resources, as well as a full transcript of this podcast. So head over to problogger.com/podcast/132.
Creating great content, finding an audience, building engagement, monetizing your blog. This is Pro Blogger.
Hello, I'm Ali Luke from Ali Ventures, and I'm going to be talking about blog post structure, how to use subheadings to make your posts not only easy to write, but also easy to read. And as we go along, I'll mention some examples, so do take a look at the show notes so you can see how this works in practice. I'm sure you've seen plenty of subheadings on lots of different blogs. They're in a larger font, quite often a different coloured font from the main text. They stand out. They're almost like mini titles for different parts of the blog post. So subheadings like this are great because they make your post easier to read in a number of ways. One, they break up the text on the screen, making it more attractive just to glance at. So if a reader comes along to your blog and they see long, long blocks of dark grey text, that's not really going to encourage them to read on. It doesn't look like it's going to be an easy post to engage with. Number two, they add extra white space. So that's the blank space that kind of goes around the subheading, just above it and below it and to the side. And that makes it easier to read your post. Number three, they act as signposts within the text. So if somebody's skimming through your post, they can easily stop at a relevant point and they can pick out the things that matter to them. And although I'd love to think that all my readers read every single word that I write, I know that's not the case. People are looking quickly for information, they're taking what they need from the post, and they're moving on. And I want to help them do that. Then number four, subheadings come out of your planning process. So this should make it really easy for you to write a good post. You won't spend lots of time just staring at the screen trying to figure out what to write next. You won't spend time writing paragraphs that you then cut because they didn't really fit in with where you were actually wanting to go with the post. And then number five, subheadings give the post a strong structure. So they make it easy for readers to follow. People aren't going to get lost halfway through your post wondering where the hell are you going with this and feeling confused or lost, because you know, you do not want your reader to give up halfway and go and read something else. So if subheadings are so great, why do some bloggers just not use them or not use them enough? I think there's a couple of reasons. One is they just forget. There's so many things to take care of when you're blogging that maybe you mean to go back in and put in some subheadings at the end and then you just don't remember to do it before publishing. And then the other is that they just don't plan in advance of writing the post. And I'm a big fan of planning. I think it has so many benefits. But when it comes to structure in particular and to having subheadings in the right places in your post, then planning is pretty much essential and it will save you so much time in the long run, because you'll save a lot of time on editing. So do all posts need subheadings then? I think that very short posts don't, but I'd suggest that if you're writing anything over about 500 words, that you should probably look to include at least one subheading within that. Think of subheadings as the key points in your plan for a blog post. So if you've written a plan and you've got four bullet points in that plan, then those four bullet points will most likely become four subheadings. So I'll give an example now of a basic blog post structure that uses subheadings, just so if you're feeling a little bit confused, you can see what we're talking about and you can see how this is working in practice. So this is Seven Simple Ideas for Mailing List Opt-ins by Charles Crawford, a recent post on ProBlogger, and you can find the link to that in the show notes. So it's a classic list post. It's got, as you might expect, seven ideas, and each of those ideas has its own subheading. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, if you scroll down the post, you can see those subheadings and the ideas very clearly because they're in the larger subheading font. And I think it's important to note here that Charles has very sensibly started each of his subheadings with the number for that idea. So we know we've got seven. I think this is really important if you're writing a list post. If you've got a number in your title, in your headline for the post, then you really need to make sure that you follow through with that and you number all the points. Because otherwise, readers like me will be looking at it thinking, well, hang on a minute, you know, you promised me 12. Are there really 12? Do I need to count them myself? Where am I in the post? How do I refer to one of these in the comments if I want to say I like number 6? Do I have to go back and count which one's number 6? And so on. So just do number your subheadings if that's appropriate to do for your post. I imagine that when Charles sat down to think about this post, he probably came up with a rough idea and a working title. So he knew he wanted to write about different types of mailing list opt-ins that you can create. Maybe he knew from the start he was going to have seven. Maybe that emerged as he began to plan. I expect he drafted a list of ideas. I don't think he sat down and wrote the introduction and then came up with the ideas as he wrote the post. I imagine he had them in advance. Maybe he came up with just the seven that appear in the finished post. Maybe he came up with 9 or 10 and then decided that some of them were a bit weaker than others, or that some of them could be fruitfully combined into one key point. He might have played around with the ordering of ideas, and he might have maybe come up with a list that was basically seven bullet points, which became the subheadings that you see in the finished post. That's certainly the sort of process that I go through for a list post, and I think that's the process that a lot of writers would use. It makes it really easy to go from a plan to a draft to a finished edited post that's great for readers to engage with.
You're listening to ProBlogger.
So that's a simple structure using subheadings, a list post with one subheading for each point in the list post. And you could very easily take that kind of structure, write a post like that, and do perfectly well with it. But there's more you can do with subheadings. You don't have to stop just, for instance, at one level of subheadings. So my next example is from Lainey Galligan, who's the general manager of ProBlogger. She wrote a fantastic post recently, which is titled The 4 R's That Show a Brand Your Blog is Influential. And again, there's a link to that in the show notes. So you might want to take a look at that while you're listening along. So you can perhaps see that it's a list post. It's got 4 items rather than 7. So it's a fairly short list, but it's still got the structure that you'd expect from a list post. It's got those 4 subheadings. They are 1, reach, 2, resonance, 3, reaction, and 4, relevance. At the end of each of those 4 parts, though, Lainey has an extra section with its own subheading. In fact, it's what I would think of as a sub-subheading. It's a slightly smaller font, and it comes within that section. So you could, if you were writing a plan, you could think about it as perhaps being indented from the key point. So within number 1, reach, Lainey has reach metrics. Under 2, resonance, she has resonance metrics, and so on. And if you scroll down the post, you can see those. And then the 4th one, relevance, is just a little bit different. It's a long part of the post. It's what Lainey considers the most important part. So she has 2 of those subheadings within that. I think this is a really handy technique to use when you're writing a list post, especially if you want to go a bit more in-depth than you might manage with a typical list post. So instead of just having 7 subheadings and some text for each, which is fine, you can go even further and for each of your subheadings have your main bulk of text and then a little sub-subheading and then a bit extra. So I think this extra should be as consistent as possible, and Lainey's done that using metrics for most of hers. It should offer some added value to the reader. So You don't have to use metrics, obviously. You could use whatever's appropriate for your post. Some of the ones that I like are further reading, recommended tools, top tip, watch out for, or try this. So all of those are things that give your reader something they could really focus on within that list item, perhaps a little take-home point or an activity to try out or a new resource that they can check out. And by including these in your post, it makes it really easy for you to write it because you know how each item on your list should be structured. So you know that if you've got item number one, reach, then you're going to have a section explaining reach, and then you're going to have reach metrics, and then you're going to have an section explaining how to understand and interpret the metrics for that. So as I say, this makes your life easier and it makes your reader's life easier. It gives you a post that's easy to write and structure and do well at. It gives your reader something that they can really engage with, they feel they've got true value from. Just before I finish, I want to give you the little techie bit about doing subheadings in case you're not already confident with this. So in WordPress or in whatever blogging platform you're using, you can use header 2 for your subheadings and header 3 for sub-subheadings, so ones that are nested beneath your main subheadings. So that's header 2 for subheadings and then header 3 for subheadings beneath those. Then if you're writing your posts in Microsoft Word, Word's heading 2 style corresponds to the header 2 in WordPress. So you can just put your subheadings into Word using Word styles and then copy and paste your post from Word into WordPress, and like magic, your subheadings will appear correctly. And that's what I do. If you'd rather draft straight into WordPress, of course you can do that. Just click on the subheading, which you maybe just put in as plain text. And then above the box where you write your post in the visual editor, you should see two rows of icons. In the second row of icons, click on the dropdown on the left that says paragraph and change that to heading 2 or to heading 3 as appropriate. And I'll put instructions on that in the show notes. So if that's a little bit hard to follow, just take a look at the screenshots. Then one last tip about your subheadings. If you can make them consistent in terms of how they're worded, then do that. So you might start them all with the same letter, like Lainey used the letter R. You might make them all into questions. You might start all of them with a verb. Whatever it is, you just have that consistency running through your post, which is reassuring to the reader. They know what to expect, and it can make it easier for you to just really nail each section of your post and get from the start to the end very smoothly and with a real sense of flow, so that you don't lose your train of thought halfway and you don't lose the reader halfway through as well. So use more subheadings. Do try this out in the next post you write. Take a look at the examples in the show notes. And I've also given you some simple templates there to just really help you get to grips with this. Good luck. And do stop by and leave a comment if you're having any difficulties or if you've got a tip about subheadings that you'd like to share.
Creating great content and building your audience. This is ProBlogger.
I hope you enjoyed that advice from Ali Luke. You can check her out over at aliventures.com. Before I go, I just want to add a couple of words to Ali's advice. Firstly, an extra reason for using subheadings that struck me as I was listening and also multitasking while I was listening to her advice, looking at an old blog post that we've been trying to get to rank higher in Google. One of the things that we have used successfully to help us improve our search engine rankings is to use subheadings. If you can include some of the keywords that you're trying to rank for in your subheadings, that can be another ranking signal to Google. You don't want to go over the top and keyword stuff your posts, but certainly using some of those keywords in your subheadings can help with your SEO. I completely agree with all the other things that Ali said as well. Particularly for me, subheadings give your post structure. And I think that's really important for you as a writer. And I certainly start with my main points and as subheadings and then fill in the gaps and write the content around them very often when I'm writing. But it also is really useful, as Ali said, said, for your readers, helping them to scan your blog posts, but also knowing what those main points are that you're making. So do give it a go. If you're not using subheadings, it can be a great way to break up your content, give it a bit more visual appeal. And I'd love to hear how you go. So as Ali said, if you've got any tips that you would add to this particular podcast, or you want to share some examples of some blog posts that you've used subheadings in, feel free to head over to problogger.com/podcast/132, where you'll see all the things that Ali mentioned in this particular podcast, and you have the opportunity to leave a comment, either an audio comment or a text one as well. Again, problogger.com/podcast/132. Thanks so much for listening today. As always, subscribe over in iTunes so you'll get notified of all new episodes, and leave us a review if you've got a moment as well. And if you've been enjoying this particular podcast, we particularly enjoy those reviews. Or if you've got a suggestion of something that you would like us to do in future, you can leave those in the reviews or the comments, or shoot me an email as well at darren@problogger.net. Thanks for listening. Chat with you in episode 133.
You've been listening to ProBlogger. If you'd like to comment on any of today's topics or subscribe to the series, find us at problogger.com/podcast. Tweet us at ProBlogger. Find us at facebook.com/ProBlogger or search ProBlogger on iTunes.
This episode of the ProBlogger podcast was edited by the team at Podcast Motor, who offer a great range of services, including helping you to set up and launch your podcast, as well as ongoing editing and production of the podcast that you produce. You can check them out at podcastmotor.com.